Coach LeBron and fly any kid. Breaks over, it's the takeover. VA stay up.
Hi, this is Birds Make Birds.
You're listening to Freeform Radio.
91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
Hello, everybody. This is The Dark Train, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm out of my breath now, and I need a couple of minutes to get ready. But in the meantime, I'll be talking so you don't get bored. I just need to find the aux. I got it. Everything I'm going to talk and describe, I think this is aux too. But yeah, I'll be taking off my jacket, so that will definitely be something that we all will be hearing. But let's see if this is aux too. Or aux one, maybe I should put both of them. Oh, I put the wrong thing. Yeah, this is aux one. So today we have Will McNamara, a very precious person. And do you want to say hi, Will? Let me put your, why is this CD? Can you try talking? Which mic is that? Let me see. Mic number four. Where is mic number four? Maybe this? Can you... Oh... These look like... I don't know how to do this because it says like CD, but it's not a CD. So also what we're listening to right now is Don't Leave Me This Way by the Communards and Sarah Jane Morris. Why are the mics not showing? This is CD. Okay, I'll let you listen to this song while I figure what is going on.
Oh,
So this was Don't Leave Me Like This by the Communards. And I hope you all can hear me now. And I'll go ahead and read the PSA. We also couldn't resolve the issue of having that other microphone on. But as always, I'll be reading the Food Not Bombs PSA. So Food Not Bombs is a loose-knit group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in a line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information on the web, visit foodnotbombs.net. This has been a public service message from Food Not Bombs dedicated to creating a sustainable future for the communities and the environment. And next up, we have The Dark Age by The Sound.
Darkest fears I heard. than the bravest words. And it's pressure from all sides coming down.
We were trying to resolve the issue, and that is working, so thank you so much.
Yeah,
we figured it out, and apparently the handbook told us what we all need to do in order to fix the issue, but now the song, we don't hear it anymore, so I wonder why that is. Let's see. Is everybody... Why is this not working? Okay, this is weird. And let me actually try putting it on aux 1. Maybe this will work. Or maybe we did something wrong. Let's see. Oops. So apparently some things are not working.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Even though the song seems to be playing. Oh. Okay, this is weird. Now I guess we can just talk, maybe, question mark. I don't know what to do, but Will, can you speak?
Hello.
Yeah, this works now, okay. I can't play the song, but at least we can a little chat, yeah. Can you hear yourself?
I can.
Oh yeah, cool. So this is Will McNamara, as I announced in the beginning. And how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, today we have our psych stats final.
Yep.
And that's going to be my last final, except for the review boards for the SMFA.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. You haven't had your review boards yet?
No, mine are on Thursday.
Oh, mine are on Wednesday.
Oh, really? Yeah, we chose the last 2 dates, everyone.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I was like, I want to get over, get all my Medford things done, and then deal with the SMFA things.
Me too.
But yeah. So today is a lovely day. It's so warm.
It's beautiful out, and to all the listeners, I'm sitting in a cool room right now, you guys. There are so many records here.
Yeah, so many stickers, drawings on the walls. Yeah, I think we should write something on the wall at some point. But yeah, what were you up to? What have you been doing?
I have just been studying.
Yeah, that's
studying
good.
Studying all the time. Eating a lot.
Oh, me too.
I probably gained 5 pounds in the last 2 weeks, but...
Yeah, I'm so jealous of these people who are like, oh, I can't eat when I'm stressed out. I forgot to eat.
I'm a stress eater.
Yeah, me too. I'm like hungry all the time. I just can't stop. But yeah, I feel like my body is burning it though.
What's your go-to snack?
My go-to snack.
Mine is definitely bacon, you guys.
Bacon.
I have this microwavable bacon.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's just all bacon. And put it in there for about a minute, 30 seconds. Uh-huh. So the sodium's horrible for my body, but I just, the taste is just amazing.
I've never heard of such a thing. I didn't know that.
Of what?
Like a microwavable bacon?
Yeah, it's much faster. Microwavable bacon, yeah.
Yeah, microwaves are like a lifesaver. Today I'll be promoting Meatless Mondays for the rest of the days. You can try. Nice. Will's okay. Favorite snack.
Yeah.
I think mine are like more sweet things like cakes. I love cakes, but my favorite cake is cheesecake, of course.
Cheesecake lemonade, everyone, on Instagram.
Yeah, follow me. I'll follow you back, JK. No, just kidding, I'll follow you back.
She will.
Yeah, I would love to like play more music, but apparently it is not working now. I wonder why that is. We did like some interesting things with the profile. Mic plus aux. Yeah, the the aux is not working. What's your name?
Nolan.
Sorry?
Nolan.
Nolan is here.
Helping us out today,
we're like
guys.
Three people here right now. So the profile is four mix plus aux. So aux should be working.
Do you want to answer this one?
Yeah, I like changed the aux. Now it's aux 2 that is plugged into my computer. And okay. Maybe, I don't know.
The output set.
Maybe we can play. Try playing something from Rivendell and then see like if it works.
Is the output set to aux 2?
Yeah, it is. So like I go to my settings and now it's like external headphones because that one is plugged in. It is weird. And it says like aux, so I'm repeating the same thing so people, the listeners are not bored, but yeah, like the song seems to be playing, but it actually is not. Ooh, doo-doo. I should be singing. But so are you going to be playing for the radio, like a live music session? Is that what you're?
Well, so hopefully next semester we'll be able to have live bands back in the studio, and then they can play live, and then whoever's DJing gets to help introduce them.
Oh yeah, that sounds cool. So we're trying more settings, you guys, to get the sound working.
What was it on last time that it worked?
It was like exactly like this. Oh, now it's something else, it says.
Oh, let's see.
But we're not using 7 channel sound, so. Ooh, I can try if I unplug this. Maybe it has to do with my computer.
Probably not.
Oh, maybe because it's. I can't hear it now. Let me close Spotify and reopen it. Maybe it's that. And we'll see. Yeah, my computer does not output any sound. Spotify preferences. Ooh, doo doo. But let me try playing something from Rivendell. And what do I want to play? Let's see. Something I wanted to play. So Swamp Thing. Let's see. It's there. This is an experimental radio show. Swamp Thing by who? The Chameleons. Yes, it is there. So. Let's see if this will. Okay. You should enjoy this song and then maybe I'll be figuring out what is wrong with my computer.
Breaking down your door, you're still staring down.
guys, I'm so embarrassed because I now know what the problem was. So the funny thing is the song I was trying to play is actually like 10 minutes long. And during those 10 minutes, there's this like two, 3 minutes of silence. And then comes another part. And it kind of feels like it's part of another song, but it's not. And I was like, when I was adding this song to the playlist I was preparing for today, I was like, okay, I should perhaps like do some talking in between those like little parts. But then I completely forgot about it. And I was like, oh, there's something wrong with my computer. And like my final is going to be on Zoom because of all these COVID bullshit that I don't want to talk about today because everybody else is already talking about it exhaustively, or like so much, whatever that word is. But so I was like, okay, so I will figure a way to host my show and like let you guys listen to some music. But then I was like, how am I gonna take my exam if I can't hear anything from my computer? But apparently everything is working. I like did sanity checks, I played some things from YouTube. So we're all set, and the board is also looking good. I think somebody just messed up with the panel, and they didn't revert it back. But so Will,
yes,
you are a painter, right?
I am, yeah.
One of the best. I love your work, but I haven't seen what you've been working on this semester. Can you tell us a little more?
Sure, yeah. So I'm one of the SMFA students, and I took this painting class this semester. It was live models came in, very traditional way of working from life. And yeah, it was a great class. 4 hours every Wednesday morning, just to paint, clear your mind. I'd recommend it for anyone who's looking for something that just shuts their head off. And at the end of the day, you have something that you can look back on and remember that experience for. Because that's really what it's about, the experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Less about the final image and more about, you know, just having fun and learning about the body.
Yeah, exactly. And like for me, I value like both digital and like non-digital works the same way. But for me, my style and like my conception of art, I kind of like more creating more tangible things, because as you said, at the end of the day, you can hold them in your hand, you can look at it. And because like digital medium, like digital works can be replicated or like duplicated, it feels like it is not that unique. But you have a painting and you just have one single copy of it, and it's not even a copy, it's like the original. So
right, exactly. And with the digital work, I feel like you have to have a clear conception of what it's going to look like in the end. You can still play around while you make it, but yeah, with something that's physical, you have kind of more freedom to just express yourself freely. You don't have to know what you're doing in the moment. But with the digital work, you for it to be kind of effective, you have to have a clear picture in your head of what it's going to look like in the end and what you're trying to say. And for anyone who doesn't, you know, anyone who's listening who doesn't know, Yamor is a crazy artist who makes these crazy, at least this semester, these crazy digital artworks that just really blow your mind.
Thank you.
So look out for her stuff in the future. I'm sure she'll make some crazy album covers or something like that.
If you continue playing guitar, I might do something.
We might team up. Or like I need Yamor on my visuals. Yes, yeah, for Alex. Alex Ortiz.
Yeah, because we were taking this class called The Art of the Fake, and we were mostly creating still images using a 3D modeling software called Cinema 4D, which is used a lot in like Hollywood movies, and it's usually good for CGIs. And like, because the thing is, it was created by like, so I'm just going to quote our professor. He says that there are these German scientists with PhDs, and they spent like over 20 years building the software. And
it's a crazy software, you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
so many textures you can use, lighting, the interactions between the materials are hyper realistic. Mm-hmm. And you can create videos, animations, but as I said, we were just focusing on still images. And Will did lots of very, very good architectural works. He also created sculptures, and it felt like there were literal photographs of like a exhibition space. And they were also kind of my inspiration for my final project, but
yeah, the software is just crazy with what the images can be. They creates these hyper realistic images. Any images that you see that come out from like Hollywood or special effects in movies, a lot of advertising nowadays, they all make it with this software, and it's kind of a scary thing at the same time because. Yeah. You know, we all know where we're headed with this and with these, you know, deep fakes, with these other editing softwares. You really can't tell nowadays what is edited and what's not. But anyone who's listening, who's a student at Tufts, I would highly recommend this Art of the Fake class with Kurt Rausch, because I think it's really relevant and it really just opened my mind up. And, you know, Kurt Rausch, if you're listening, shout out Kurt Ross. He is just probably not.
But we have an archive of this show, so we can, if you want, send it to him.
Yeah, Kurt is really cool.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm very modest.
Very nice guy.
Yeah. So, like, one of our classmates, Sana, her final project was on like this combination of fantastic with real life. So what she did was she took photos of like the SMFA space. And she placed like objects in the scene that weren't there in the like original scene, and they seemed to be there in the first place. It was so realistic, and like there was this picture of the atrium, and right now there are like some exhibitions in the atrium, and what she placed in the middle of the space was a big giant like skull, and it looked more realistic than the current real exhibitions there, so it was freaky as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can swear, but
it was so freaky. And the thing is, with this kind of stuff, you don't even need to spend hours and hours doing it. You just need to know the few steps that it takes to do something like that. It's relatively kind of a simple process.
Exactly.
For how you make the work in Cinema 4D.
You literally put a plane on top of the image and you make the plane invisible. Then you put some lights and then you enable the shadow, so the object casts shadow on the plane, but it looks like it's actually like casting shadow on the floor in the picture.
Yeah.
And here you go. Like, of course, like she worked a lot, and this is like, the theory is easy, but of course, when you're dealing with it, the practical aspects, first of all, like, you run into many issues with Cinema 4D. Sometimes it's unpredictable what the software does, or maybe we just don't know enough, because like Adobe software, there's so many tools that you can use. So it is like a long process, but you like the theory is very set, like clearly set out.
Yeah, I think we got a good skill set coming out of the Art of the Fake class at SMFA. You know, I think it gave us a really good platform to work from. So, you know.
No, for sure. And like, it's, I think, for non-students, it's like $500 a year, I guess. But if you're a student, you can use it for free. So like, if you're a student, you can just, there's this activation fee, which is like $2 or something. And then like, there are many tutorials on the web. So I'd say definitely check it out.
Definitely check it out. Even if you are kind of don't identify as an artist and you just want something to play around with and you want your mind blown, I would recommend downloading it because it's really, really crazy.
Yeah. I'll play a song, but I'll put it in the background. So because we kind of skipped your paintings, but I want to learn more about them. So I'll be playing Satan
play that
is
shit.
His name by Holy Golightly or something like that. So many consonants that is hard for me to pronounce, but I hope. Yeah.
Ooh.
And we'll
I
be
like
talking
that.
On top of it. So tell me about your paintings. Were you so did you just do like real life figure drawings or like for your final, did you have to come up with like a composition, or was it like a more detailed drawing of a real life figure? So can you tell us?
I had to do these self portraits, and anyone who's done those know how hard they are, because you want to represent yourself in an honest way, and you don't want to represent yourself, you know, like a king or a queen, you know, but you also don't want to represent yourself like a peasant.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do you fall in the middle of that? So I looked at a lot of self-portraits from a wide range of different artists. And it's interesting because a lot of artists in history will usually do self-portraits throughout their career. And when you look at the earlier ones, I'm usually drawn to the earlier ones because there's just this kind of like untouched like energy to them, and it's so raw. And so I took probably like 100 selfies right in my studio, and I was like scrolling through them. I was like, oh my god, these are horrible, like I just did not look like myself in any of them, and they were like way too contrived. And so I just decided, okay, Picasso didn't have an iPhone with the front-facing camera, so I'm just gonna pull up this mirror and just work from that. And then over the course of like 2 weeks, I just kept working at it.
Wow, two weeks,
and it's the oil, so it stays nice and wet.
We like it nice and wet.
Yep.
Sorry, I gotta do this.
We do, and I'm happy with how it turned out. I think I'll make many more, but...
Now, as you said, like, doing self-portraits is a whole process, but I also, like you, enjoy the very first ones, because usually when you first start painting or, like, looking at yourself, as you say, you have this very raw image, but then when you continue to look at yourself in that manner, you are focusing on certain things, or, like, you are affected by, like, other artists, or you're like, as your personality changes, the way you want to express yourself changes too, which is a good thing, because maybe like your style gets shaped, but that initial raw thing, I think it just stays there for a short time before other things erase that. And I think it would be just appreciating the raw parts of it, because sometimes, like, we always say that you don't have to get a arts education, but what arts education gives you is that theoretical knowledge about how to use the mediums, or like how to analyze painters, artists, analyze works, so you can build yourself. It's like a more like a construction, and like it comes with analyzing what you want and who you are and combining it what are available to you, but it lacks the experiment that comes with not knowing anything at all.
I kind of view it as a process of just understanding myself more. You know, like if you keep working on, in my case, I've chosen to kind of focus on the painting, then as the technique builds up, you kind of, and it, let's say you're working as in a self-portrait from a mirror, as your technique builds and builds and builds, you kind of understand yourself more, because you're then representing yourself more accurately.
Yeah.
And I just love that process. Like, there's something that just attracts me, that you can start off with like 5 basic colors and then create something that looks not even real, but just authentic, you know, from such rudimentary materials. And I get overwhelmed easily as a person if I have too many options. So I kind of need just like 5 colors.
Oh, me too.
And like a paintbrush.
But I don't know a lot about painting. I just took an intro class, but I feel like I know the basics now that I can experiment the medium by myself. But I really adore your work ethic, because when it comes to painting, you have such a good work ethic. Like, I sometimes see Will and he's like, I'm going to the SMFA to work on my painting, and I literally adore this dedication.
It's time consuming, you know. Yeah. And you also spend so much time on what you do, and mm-hmm. with also your academic studies.
Yeah.
Which I think is great, because I think it makes you such a well-rounded person, and it definitely probably informs some of your artwork that you make.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, it's a time consuming thing, and it's just, you have to be so self-motivated, and it just makes me happy. Like, mm-hmm. that's just the one thing. I'm not trying to, like, be a certain kind of person, mm-hmm. or, like, I mean, I have goals in my life, but I just know that it makes me happy and I can turn my head off,
you know?
And in today's day and age, like, in our generation especially, like, I think any other listener who's, you know, maybe late teens in their 20s, 30s, millennials out there can understand that life can just be so overwhelming right now, and I think if you have that one thing that you can just kill time with, and just, it kind of makes you feel like there are no problems, and if you have anything that you kind of just want to get better at, I think you should just go for it and not listen to what anyone has to say, you know?
No, yeah, I sometimes feel like the scene out there is so competitive, everybody trying to build out, like, their CVs, which is good, but
yeah,
sometimes,
right?
It's like not on the point. Like, some people just do things that they barely like, or like it's just literally at the low threshold of likability, and there are so many things that they're not doing that they would love to do more, just
right,
because they think it's not that useful.
Right. And I think we also have forgotten that things take practice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mastery takes time. We all got to hit those 10,000 hours. And I think especially our generation, we're so accustomed to things being instant,
mm-hmm.
you know? So we just kind of think like, okay, you either have it or you don't. But I think, you know, if you really take the time to work at something, you know, you can't just expect it to come overnight. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
Because yeah. I feel like if we're dissatisfied with how slow something builds up, it's usually because we want to get it done to show it off and to share it with other people. Because we see one thing, we appreciate it, and we're like, okay, I want to recreate it. But it's actually like, success is not that easy.
Mm-hmm.
And also because like social media distorts many things. It's like, everything seems to be completed in a short amount of time, just because the way it's presented, and there are so many creators out there, so you're seeing so many people and thinking, oh, like, they probably did it like a few days ago and I can like pull it off in a few days like them, but it's actually not true. People
yeah you don't
time.
See all the work, you don't see all the hours.
Also, the song that I just played was Deuced by D I I V or maybe D Three. This is maybe a Romanian number with like V's and I's, but
oh yeah.
And this one is Lady Rider by Dire Straits. But yeah, let's listen to this one. This is a good one.
Turn
and
it
we'll
up.
Talk.
Thank you.
So this was Lady Rider by Dire Straits. And next up, we have Sexual Healing by Marvin Gaye. I was just like unsure what song to play, and Will suggested playing one of this artist's songs, and I just looked at his profile on Spotify and I was like, oh yeah, Sexual Healing, that sounds good. So let's give it a listen. Talk more about that, but this song is African reggae, I think. Let's see. Yeah, African reggae by Nina Hagen. I wanna pronounce the album Noon Sex Monk Rock. Yeah, that.
Afghanistan.
I know you guys have been enjoying the song, but we're about to finish the show, so I'll just say the station ID. And there was a song request by a good friend of mine, Zeynep. So this is The Dark Train, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And the song request was Prison Sex by Tool, so we'll be transitioning into that. I hope you all enjoy this song. And it should finish in time, so we'll be listening to the full song. Have fun, and thank you. I'll see you next semester, hopefully. Bye and take care.
Still alive. so precious.